Let us more turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and beginning our reading at verse 10, the last of our series, anyway, for the minute, on the wiles of the devil and the armour of God. So we're going to read from verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole arm of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Let's unite again in prayer, please. Our loving and our gracious God, we turn to thee in our Saviour's name afresh today, and we thank thee for the opportunity of drawing near to our God and into the throne of grace where Jesus answers prayer. And we thank thee for the privilege of prayer that we have, that we're able to enter into thy presence and seek thy face and make our requests and petitions known to thee. We thank thee for the fact that we come to a prayer answering God. We'd ask that thou wouldst answer abundantly today and meet with us, each one, that every heart might be blessed of thee as we meet in thy presence. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul has been setting out the pieces of the armour of God, and we have thought about the nature of the fight that we're in. It's a very serious fight and a very difficult battle that we're in, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And since we wrestle against such an enemy, Paul has been trying to make sure that we're equipped and ready for the fight. And he says in verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. And then he lists the different parts of the armour that we've been dealing with over the last number of weeks. The loins girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And then he adds the verse 18 that we want to take as our text, and verse 19 and 20. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, some people, and indeed I think I probably myself have said this in the past, that this is another one of the weapons, that this is another part of the armour of God, the weapon of prayer. But when you think about it, when you look at it, actually, I don't think actually that prayer is a part of the armour. Because if you look at the other parts, he likens every part to a piece of armour. It's the helmet of salvation. It is the sword of the Spirit. But he doesn't say this is the buckler of prayer or anything like that, but he just says, praying always. And I think the point is that as we put on the armor of God, we put on every part with prayer. We take the shield of faith and we take it with prayer. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and we put it on with prayer. We take the sword of the Spirit, but we do so with prayer. And God wants us to make sure that we do everything in the attitude of prayer and of seeking the face of God. Because every other part of the armor of God will be useless, really, or it will be ineffectual if we do not take it with prayer, if it is not used with prayer. You see, you could have all the orthodoxy that you want, and it would not be good enough. You could have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted of your doctrine, but that would not be something that would be effective in this day and generation. It wouldn't be effective against the devil if we do not go forward in the spirit and the attitude of prayer, because we need above all to depend upon our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have the orders in place. So Paul says here, praying always, put on the armor of God, but praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And we can't overemphasize the importance of prayer. We've got to pray, we've got to seek the face of God, we've got to call upon Him for His blessing. If we're going to be effective in this battle, if we're going to face the wiles of the devil, then the secret and the key to that is that we are people of prayer. I wonder how our prayer life is today. I wonder how effectual, how earnest we are in the place of prayer. We have not very often because we ask not. We haven't sought the place where we bow before God in the place of prayer. So I want us to underline the place of prayer in this great battle. If we're fighting in a great battle today, and we are, if we're wrestling against the devil and all his wiles, and we are, then certainly we need to underline the place of prayer. And I want us, every one of God's people, to look in our hearts today and see where we stand as far as true prayer is concerned. And first of all, I want you to see the duty of true prayer. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And there you have the exhortation to prayer. At the start of the section, Paul outlines the armor of God. He says that we have to withstand in the evil day. We have to stand for the Lord. And now he says, one of the ways that you're going to do that is to pray always. Now, I want you to see the compelling nature of this command, and it is a command. There is an imperative here. This is not an option for any true child of God. If we are going to stand in this battle, then there is no other option but to pray. Any place or any child of God that has forgotten the place of prayer already is defeated in the battle, already is in the back line, already is a deserter. They're absent without leave. Now, it's not an easy thing to pray. It's not an easy thing to enter into this battle. If you've truly prayed, you'll know that this is the most difficult thing. It's an easy thing to say a few prayers. It's an easy thing to repeat maybe the Lord's Prayer and do so in an offhand kind of way. But when you enter into the true battle of prayer, when you enter into the holiest, and when you draw nigh to God to lay hold upon the horns of the altar, you'll know that Satan will be there at your right hand to resist. You'll know that the devil will be there in that place, because that is the place where the battle is at its fiercest. And we remember that the Lord Jesus Himself always prayed. Now, you remember the Lord Jesus and who He is. He's the blessed Son of God. He was intimate with the desires of heaven. He was intimate with the plans of the Holy. And He knew all about what was taking place. And yet we find that the Lord Jesus, during His earthly ministry, often withdrew into the secret place and at times spent all night before his Father in prayer. Now, if God, the Lord Jesus, felt it necessary to withdraw and spend time before God, indeed, at times to spend all nights before God in prayer and fasting, then how much more should we? When is the last time that we spent a night or a half night before God? How long is it since we spent that time before God in fasting? You see, that is the measure. The Lord said men ought always to pray and not to faint. He said in Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In this day, sadly, in many places, we have left aside the place of prayer. You know, in our Friday night meetings, the men's prayer meetings, I will read an account of revival. And it's the relationship, really, between revival and prayer that I center upon. And I've read account after account after account of the place of united prayer of God's people in the place of revival. Well, before revival comes, there is always that burden to pray. Now, there are many people who have a knowledge of the Word of God. And I've told you before about people that I've known who had libraries full of books and theological tomes, but they did not believe in prayer. But if you do not believe in prayer, you haven't grasped the first thing about theology. You haven't grasped the first thing about the Word of God. God says, praying always, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. We need to get down on our knees today. Not only do we see the compelling nature of the command, but look at the comprehensiveness of the command. You notice the word all there in the text. Praying, the word all and the word always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For all saints, it said. And here is the spirit of prayer. It is that comprehensive spirit. It is that spirit of perseverance. It is something that's not intermittent in our life, but we pray with all prayer. We pray with that seeking of God before the throne of heavenly grace. Our dependence is upon God. Only when we acknowledge our dependence upon the Lord will we pray with that proper focus and with that proper relationship to our God. And we come as dependent servants. We come, Lord, to seek his face, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And all prayer partly means all kinds of prayer. Now, you have public prayer and you have private prayer. You have common prayer and you have joint prayer. You have praying with that audible bringing of our needs to God. And then there are those prayers in the heart. There are those prayers that we do not utter. And we read of how the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, it's not the Holy Spirit that groans there. It's us that groans. Those groanings are our groanings. And sometimes prayer is but a groan. It's just, as it were, despair that goes out to God, that need of him. And we come with all kinds of prayer. We come to not only with all prayer, but it says with supplications. You'll notice that he has different categories of prayer here. Praying always with all prayer, and then and supplication. And supplication just means petitions. We are to bring our needs to him. Doesn't matter how big they may be, or how small they may be, how insignificant they may be, how personal or how public they may be. We bring our needs to the mighty God of heaven, be it the smallest thing, the most personal thing, or whether it be the great need of revival in our land or for the missionaries across the world. Thank God nothing is too big or too small to bring to him. So I wonder today, have we been instant in the place of prayer? Have we been coming to God with this all prayer, this seeking of the face of God, that God might have mercy and blessing upon us in these days. So we notice something of the duty of prayer. But then I want you to see something about the direction of prayer. Not only does Paul speak here about supplications, and not only does he encourage us to bring our petitions to the Lord, but he gives us direction as to what we should pray for. He says here, if you look, that we come with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So, first thing is, we're to pray for the saints. We're to pray for the saints. Some people say we're to pray to the saints, but Paul says we're to pray for the saints. Now, who are the saints? The saints are God's people. The saints are the saved people. Those that are washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Those who know the Lord Jesus Christ. We should pray if we're saved for our fellow brethren and sisters. We shouldn't think about ourselves alone. We should have that care for others and that care for their needs, and when they're sick or when they're in despair or when they're in need, when they have worries, we bring those worries to God. Not only our own worries, but we pray for others. And we can expand it there, because really here when he says pray for the saints, we can slightly expand it and just think about others in general. And we think about those that are still in their sin. We think about those that are perishing today. There is nobody that could be in a worse position than those that are outside of Christ, dicing with eternity, as it were, hanging over the cliff edge and still in their sins. And surely we need to pray for them, that there might be some conception of the danger, some realization of the position that they're in. And we need to pray for them. The sad thing, of course, is that so few would thank you for such prayers. They think, well, it is something that we do not need. It is for prayers for us. But we need to pray for those that are round about us and to bring the needs of the unsaved to the Lord in prayer. You know, we think today of Samuel. We remember how the children of Israel had asked for a king. And really, in many ways, they were slighting Samuel. And they were slighting, moreover, the God of Samuel, because God had ruled them up unto this time. And we think of how Samuel pointed out their sin and what they had done. And when the people realized their sin, they cried out to Samuel to pray for God, to God for them. And in their cry that Samuel would pray for them, there was this implication that maybe Samuel would not pray for them. That they had so antagonized Samuel, and they had so brought this cloud over Samuel that he would not pray for them. Remember what Samuel said. He said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You know, there are many out there, and they would have nothing to do with our prayers and do not even want our prayers. When we say like Samuel of old, and I hope that we do say it, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Do you pray for your loved ones? Do you pray for your friends? Do you spend time before the Lord asking that God would save them? But then there's another direction. Not only does he ask them to pray for the saints and broadly to pray for others, but then Paul says in verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. He says, pray for the preacher. What a staggering thought here. Here is this mighty apostle, this man that had gone through the world preaching the word of God and seen churches established and the work of God built up, and now he's asking for the prayers of God's people. You see, here's a man who has a clear insight. He knows that he needs the prayers of God's people. At the time, of course, he was in prison. He was languishing in a Roman prison. And it's very interesting to notice what he asked them to pray for. He doesn't ask them to pray that he might be brought out of the prison. You would think that that would be the first thing. If you look in verse 20, he describes himself as an ambassador in bonds. He's in prison, but he doesn't ask the people to pray that he might be set free from the prison. He was a sick man, but he doesn't ask them to pray that he might be healed. Not that that was illegitimate. Not that it was illegitimate for them to pray that he might be brought into prison or that he might be healed. But his priority is this, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to preach the gospel. Pray for me that I might have power of speech. Pray for me that I might have freedom of utterance. We tend to forget the fact at times that Paul obviously was not a natural orator. The people of Corinth said of him, his presence is weak and his speech is contemptible. And he was saying, pray for me that I might be able to open my mouth boldly, that I might have the words to speak. And pray for me that I might have opportunity to speak, that I might have liberty to speak, that I might have time to speak, that I may open my mouth boldly. He repeats it, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And this is vital for the preacher. We need to preach boldly in this day. We need to make known the word of God in this day. In this day when people don't want to hear it, certainly the preacher needs boldness. And we pray that God will give boldness in this day in the preaching of the word of God. So we notice the duty to pray and the direction of prayer. We pray for others and we pray for those that preach and proclaim the word of God in this day. But then I want you to see the dynamic of prayer. Now, there's one thing else that I want you to see, but this is a very, very important thing. We have the duty of prayer. We've spoken about the direction of prayer, what way we pray. But he says here, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, there's the dynamic of prayer, in the Spirit. It's those words, in the Spirit, that I want you to speak. See, the secret and the dynamic of true prayer is that it is in the Spirit. We might ask ourselves why Paul is so careful to add those words, in the Spirit. And he not only does it here, but he does it in other places. In Ephesians 2 and 18, he speaks of the Lord. He says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Or in Philippians 3, he speaks of worshipping God in the Spirit or by the Spirit. In Jude's epistle, Jude writes, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So this addition here is made very often and it seems to indicate something that is vital. Now some people will pray kneeling, some people will pray standing, some people will pray lying as the Lord Jesus did, some people will pray audibly and some will pray inaudibly. But above all things, doesn't matter about those things really, the thing that matters is that it's in the Spirit. There's something vital here. There's a life. There's an energy. There is to be a dynamism about our prayer. But what does it mean when he says that we pray in the Spirit? Well, some people think, well, it's praying in tongues. But that is not what is spoken of here at all. It doesn't even mention tongues in any way. What is praying in the Spirit? Well, praying in the Spirit is prayer directed by the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit truly or surely is prayer that the Holy Spirit of God would want us to make. There are petitions and there are prayers that the Holy Spirit wants us to make. He helps by enlightening the ignorance of our minds, putting things in our hearts, and he takes the infirmities of the body and the maladies of the soul, and he is able to put within our hearts a burden to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He gives us the intercessions. He takes our infirmities and our reluctance to pray, and he gives us the things to pray. He purifies our desires. He redirects our will so that we pray in the Holy Spirit. And we need prayer that's directed by God. We need to pray the things that God wants us to pray. Samuel Zwemer said, this is God the Holy Spirit talking to God. True prayer, he said, is God the Holy Spirit talking to God the Father in the name of God the Son, and the believer's heart is the prayer room. And I wonder if that's true of you and me. Is our heart the prayer room where God the Father, God the Holy Spirit is talking to the Father in the name of the Son? I wonder today, is our prayer directed by the Holy Spirit? But then prayer in the Holy Spirit is something else. Not only is it directed by the Holy Spirit, but it will give us but the Holy Spirit will not only direct us, but will give us the desire to pray. Now, we're often dull and we're often lethargic in prayer. It is difficult to pray at times. I don't need to tell you that it can be the most difficult thing to pray. But prayer in the Holy Spirit is when we have this burden, when the burden perhaps even is intolerable at times, where we have to get down and seek the face of God. We think of the prophets and the men of God in days gone by, and they had such a burden to pray at times that they could only be relieved by times of earnest and prolonged prayer. In Daniel chapter 10, we have an example in verses 2 and 3. It refers to the experience. It says, in those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all, till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And then the answer came in its proper time. But here's a man who had a burden to pray, such a burden that he couldn't eat, such a burden that he couldn't take his ordinary food. Oh, we need a desire like that to pray, to seek the face of God. We have the direction to pray and the desire to pray. That's praying in the Holy Ghost. But then praying in the Holy Ghost will give us delight in prayer. There'll be an enthusiasm. There will be, it'll not be dull, it'll not be lifeless, it'll not be dreary, it'll not be vain repetition if it's prayer in the Holy Spirit. We can go about our duty like the Pharisees and the scribes, and there's no real earnestness to us. We can recite our prayers, and we can read our prayers, and we can come with the well-worn phrases, but we need prayer that has been given us a delight. I read about one of the times of revival way back in the 1940s when Duncan Campbell went to the Isle of Lewis. And there was a part of the island of Lewis that had not, the revival had not affected immediately. So they had a prayer meeting in a little hut, really, I think it was, a wee hall somewhere. And they were praying, and the prayer meeting went on, and it was just like any other prayer meeting, and there wasn't anything very remarkable about the prayer meeting. The people were praying, and they were earnest enough about their prayers, but there wasn't anything different about their prayers. And then, maybe about 1 o'clock in the morning, or even later, a wee man got up, just an ordinary wee man, if we could call him like that, and he began to pray and to seek the face of God. And his words weren't anything very eloquent, but they evidently touched heaven. There was something different about his prayer. And immediately he had prayed, Duncan Campbell closed the prayer meeting because he had the burden upon his heart. He had the realization somehow that God had heard that prayer. And he said, we can go home now. There's no more need to pray because God, heaven's heard. And so it turned out that it was that heaven had heard. And they went out and they saw revival begin to break out in that community. And God, we need that delight in prayer.
that real enthusiasm. But not only will prayer in the Holy Ghost be directed by the Holy Spirit and give us a desire by the Holy Spirit and give us delight by the Holy Spirit, but prayer in the Holy Spirit will be, to use the word, draped by the Holy Spirit. The actor of the text in the Greek here is in spirit rather than in the spirit. And Handley Moule interprets that as meaning surrounded by the Holy Spirit. It means that we're covered in the Holy Spirit or draped in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is to be the place where we pray. We have the surrounding of the Holy Spirit, penetrating the atmosphere, being there, knowing that we have the presence of God with us in that special way. We need prayer meetings like that, where the Holy Spirit of God comes down. Paul says here, praying always. But he says, praying always in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit. Now, I wonder today, we may pray, we may seek the face of God, but are we praying in the Spirit? You know, William Gurnall, the old Puritan, he wrote a great volume on these verses on the armor of God. But you know, when he wrote that volume about the armor of God, it's about 600 pages, at least in the volume that I have at home. 600 pages, and it's 600 pages of very close type. It's very small writing. So there were great reams of exposition on the text. But one third of that 600 pages is given over to praying always. Now, he writes about the armor of God and all the rest of it. But you can see the great importance that this old Puritan writer put upon the place of prayer. Now, he spoke about the armor and the sword and the shield of faith and so on and so forth. But he saw that the greatest need was the need of prayer. And it is still the greatest need of our day and generation that we might pray always. Now, I wonder how our prayer life stands. Are we people of prayer? Do we know what it is to pray in the Holy Spirit? Do we draw near to God? And is that reality known in our lives? May God teach us to pray today. And may we draw near to his throne of heavenly grace. May God write his word upon our hearts. Let's just bow in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for thy word. Lord, we've been looking at the armor of God, and we thank thee that it's available. We thank thee that there is an armor that we can put on when we stand against the wiles of the devil. But, O God, we pray that thou wouldst teach us to pray and teach us to seek thy face and to seek it in earnest and seek it in the Spirit. And, Lord, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And, O God, we pray that thou wouldst help us even in the place of prayer today. Come and bless us now and put thy hand upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.